It's that time of year. A new batch of bar-tailed godwits are on their way to New Zealand. No doubt it's in your calendar. These birds follow in the esteemed wake of E7, a legendary godwit that holds the world record for the longest non-stop flight from Alaska to New Zealand. And the Pukorokoro Miranda Shorebird Centre has been keeping track of the annual migrations of bar-tailed godwits for at least 30 years. Joining us now is Adrian Regan from the centre, known as, quote, the dude when it comes to tracking migratory birds. Adrian joins me now. Hi.
Yeah, kia ora.
Is this an interesting time of year, Adrian, for you?
Oh, it is, definitely. Yes, this is the time of year we've also look forward to it. Not only does it indicate that spring's on its way for us, but, having the Kuaka coming back to New Zealand and being able to track some of them with satellite tags is just magical.
So how are you tracking them?
We've got 20 of them we caught at Pukorokoro Miranda last November and fitted little backpack solar-powered transmitters on them. These hopefully would last several years and record in quite frequently because, you know, the battery power is often with these things, they carry a fixed battery, and so you have to conserve the battery as much as possible. If it's solar powered, you can have it transmitting a lot more frequently. And we tracked them all the way back up through East Asia and on to Alaska to their breeding grounds. And then, of course, we can track them while they're on their breeding grounds. And once that's over and they prepare for the journey back to New Zealand, we can sit on our computers and watch it all unfold. So on a daily basis, throughout the day, they're sending signals, and this is being put onto the website that we use or onto various applications, and we can follow their progress.
And tell me about E7.
E7 was the first one to sort of prove to us or to the rest of the world, there's some of us who knew these birds were flying non-stop from Alaska to New Zealand, but very few people believed it was physically possible for a bird to fly for up to 10 days without stopping to eat or drink or sleep. And we'd sort of proved this in the late 90s and early 2000s that this was possible, but used circumstantial evidence. And eventually when satellite transmitters were small enough, and even then they were the E7 carried a 23-gram implanted transmitter. Now we're down to 2-gram solar-powered transmitters. Mm. And so that really just proved E7. We on that year, I think we put on eight transmitters, but most of them failed before the birds returned to New Zealand. And most of them, we tracked them northwards as far as Alaska, but the batteries had packed up by the time they came back. But E7's battery kept going all the way around and until it got back to New Zealand. So it was it was proof to the whole world that that these birds really could do what we said they could do, and that was to fly non-stop across an ocean. And with the navigation skill to pinpoint New Zealand, it's an awful long way from Alaska, and New Zealand's not very big. So to actually be able to not have to wander around the Pacific looking for it, but to fly almost directly to it, it's an extraordinary feat.
How are this year's birds doing?
We've got the first one that left, that we're tracking, left. It didn't pick the right weather to leave Alaska on and ended up getting pushed back northwards and north of the Aleutian Islands back into the Bering Sea and towards Siberia. Managed to get round the bad weather and then head south. But then it got into some quite strong easterly winds which kept pushing it westwards. And after about 8 days, it had enough, I think, and landed on a small island off New Ireland in New Guinea, where it's still been, but it hasn't transmitted for about 5 days, so we're not quite sure whether that one's what's happened to that. They sometimes don't transmit very well when the bird is on the ground. The transmitters are so neatly packed onto their backs now. It's not like a rucksack. It's that the feathers can actually cover the solar panel completely. And then they don't get enough. And if it's, you know, quite heavy, cloudy weather, they don't necessarily get enough solar energy to send a signal. When they're flying, the feathers seem a bit more open, I think, and we get a better signal. But then we've got another one that's just off the Kiribati at the moment. Probably got another 3 days to go. It's just under, I think I've estimated it's still got about 4,300K to go to get back to the Karakara Miranda. And then there's two further north, just west of, just 1,000 kilometres west of Hawaii. And they're in two separate flocks, but you think they're having a race. They're sort of neck and neck as they come down the Pacific. And they've been knocking out close to 1,400 kilometres a day, in a 24-hour period on their way south.
Incredible.
So there's three in the air that we know of, making good and steady progress towards New Zealand. And then we've still got six that are actively transmitting that are still up in Alaska on part of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. There's a huge area of mud flats and big shoals, and it's the major staging site for almost all the godwits prior to their migration across the Pacific. So there's still six sitting up there waiting for the next good weather system. It's very important they leave when the winds are sort of from the north, ideally, and the strongest possible, to give themselves the best possible chance and not end up being blown backwards like the first one was. So if they pick it right, then they'll end up on with a sort of a tailwind for maybe up to 3,000 kilometres out into the Pacific, which is a great help.
Is it a special moment when they start arriving back in New Zealand?
It always is. It's a special moment to see them depart and to see them arrive. It's harder to see them arrive because they can arrive sort of any time of day or night whenever the journey is ended, whereas when they depart, they usually depart in the late afternoon, and there's a lot of chatter about on the mud flats as they prepare. Those that want to depart prepare, and you can, if you're there and you understand the behaviour, you can actually watch them lift off and get into their V formations and set course for China or somewhere like that. But when they're coming back, they can sort of just arrive any hour of the day. But you can often, if you're well versed on it, you can often spot the ones that have just arrived. Their wings will be trailing off, looking a bit like they've been shot or something like that. But because they've held their wings out stiff and straight for 8, 9, 10 days, it's probably quite hard to fold them up again. And it takes, a day for that to happen. Sometimes you'll see them fast asleep when all the other birds are feeding. They're just so exhausted they need the rest. Occasionally they're seen when they land to actually put their legs down and fall over, which birds just don't do. And literally their legs have not been used for 9, 10 days. And some of the muscle mass may have been used to fuel their journey. And so they're in a fairly weak state. They soon get up and get their balance again. But it's a bit like getting your sea leg, your land legs after being at sea.
Did you know they're ringing the cathedral bells in Nelson to welcome them back?
Oh, are they? Oh, that's nice. Good, yes. Well, they used to do the Christchurch ones until they had a mishap.
Yeah.
So that's great stuff, yeah.
Lovely. And when they return, you'll be doing your best to take care of them, I suppose. I know you're not hands-on, but, are they safe from predation here in New Zealand? Be ashamed to fly all this way and get eaten by a rat.
Yeah, they're pretty good here because as long as we look after the habitat, that's the key thing. Mostly they can avoid most of the predators like cats and dogs and things and rats, but partly because they live on the edge of the sea, habitat that a lot of these other animals don't like. Also because they're very vigilant and a bird that's in a flock, there's always one or two or a dozen or so that are awake and will give the alarm. And they don't ask questions, someone alarms, they all fly off and then ask what the problem was afterwards. But it's the habitat that's the big issue, and looking after estuaries, not destroying, not polluting them, all those issues. It's a phenomenal problem right around the globe where man has either used the ocean to for their trash or to create more land, all those sort of issues. So it's a really, it's a sad a sad challenge, a sad state of affairs, and it's you know, it's up to us to try and look after as many of these places as possible, and by enlightening people with, you know, these programs like this and all that sort of thing, you know, and encouraging more people to take an interest in these birds and admire them for what they are. They may not be the brightest looking birds when they're here. They're fairly dull brown because they blend in with mudflats, and but, you know, their story is just so extraordinary, what these birds are capable of doing. We've got one bird that was, you know, 26 and a half years old and had probably been doing, maybe done at least 20 migrations to and from Alaska in that time. You know, 700,000 kilometres. You have to be in awe of these little birds out on their mudflats.
And in terms of habitat, how is your little patch going? For people who are not familiar with it, can you tell us about it?
Well, New Zealand in general is pretty good. We are trying to sort of build more marinas and things, but down on the Firth of Thames coast, where we're based, or we have our centre, it's not too bad, but there has been a lot of mangroves encroaching on the mudflats due to the, you know, the extra runoff from the land and that sort of thing, the nutrient runoff. So there are issues even where in places look good. But in general terms, you know, the Auckland region, the Kaiapoi from Manukau and the Firth of Thames are in pretty good condition for in a global sense. But that doesn't mean we should be complacent and sit back and relax. There's always more we can do. And there, we've got areas where kite surfers like to take off from beaches and you know, when, at high tide, when birds are trying to sleep on them. And those sort of, we've got those issues to try and sort of find a balance so that people can do their kite surfing, but the birds get, you know, the rest that they need. So, yeah, it's an ongoing problem, ongoing education of the public, you know, to which we've been battling away with for many years, and you just have to keep doing it.
You do a great job, and I've just noticed on our webpage that we have a link. It's just still loading for me, but it says you can follow the birds here, so can people have a look themselves?
They can, yes. It's been made a public access one. That's the one for public, that one, yeah.
That's cool. And yeah, there's all sorts of birds on it, eh?
Sorry?
Are there all sorts of different birds?
No, it's only there's a couple of projects. There's one with some godwits being tracked in Australia, in northwestern Australia, and I think there's one or two showing up on that one at the moment, and the others are just on this. I mean, there's many projects around the globe, and that site's being run by the Global Flyway Network, one of the group that's involved with this project. I should point out that the Pokorokoro Miranda Naturalist Trust isn't really a leader in any of this. This is a bigger, much wider group of organisations. It's quite a global thing. Birds Canada, okay. Birds New Zealand, and so on. So it's a you know, what we're doing is a big global. It has global reach, and people are interested from around the globe in what our birds do. Partly because I think it's just so extraordinary. There's no other bird really that covers such a distance, a land bird, you know, across oceans. So, you know, naturally scientists are fascinated around the world with these birds. And, yeah.
Adrian, really appreciate your time today. People can go have a play with that website. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Will do.
Adrian.
Thanks very much, Jesse. Thank you.
My pleasure. Adrian Regan on the bar-tailed godwit, and the Māori name is Kuaka.